and welcome to episode 376 of Awards Daily's Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I'm joined by the other two M's. So, M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Joey, we'll start with you this week.
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
Happy Pride, and that sigh that came after your name said, I'm gay and tired.
I rode a bike to work there and back today. I'm tired.
It's so hot.
Over New York City. You did fine. What's wrong with the bike? Anyway, we'll talk about that later. Megan.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me on Twitter at HeyDudeMegan, also on a billboard in Pittsburgh right now because of
an
ad that I did. Yeah. So you can find me on Bridgeville Road, I think.
Is it an STD billboard?
No, it's for a restaurant, and I'm on the front. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I'm also in a commercial right now for Eaton Park in Pittsburgh, so I'm kind of everywhere.
Model Megan.
Megan's like wearing sunglasses right now. She can't be bothered. She's like, I'm glad I can pencil your little podcast in, guys.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. So as you can tell, this is a chatty podcast. We are a little bit late this week, thanks to the Memorial Day holiday and life in general. But we're here. It's June 1st. Happy Pride Month to all those who celebrate. Yeah. And we're ready to talk about Stranger Things. I just leapt right into it.
That's such a good segue.
Which is sort of Stranger Things is sort of the anti-pride, considering they will not comment on Will Byers' sexuality. So
I think it's funny that is he gay? I was like, he's been gay forever, guys. I don't know what you're talking about.
But before that, Joey, I don't know if you want to talk about what we did last week, finally.
Oh, yeah. Clarence and I attended an FYC event for HBO's The Gilded Age. We got to interview a bunch of, main principal cast members. So, my face was, 7 inches away from Christine Baranski's face. She's kooky. And, Megan, I feel like you would have died over what Carrie Coon was wearing. She came up. Well, first of all, I thought she was gonna be the first person out when we did the press line, and because they're like, Carrie's coming, Clarence and I were like, oh my god, it's Carrie Coon. and then she was the last person to come out. We interviewed everybody else. They came out to do a cast photo, and Carrie Coon just waltzes out in her beautiful way that she does, and she came up to us after they did a photo with, it was Christine Baranski, Louisa Jacobson, Cynthia Nixon, Carrie Coon, Morgan Spector, Danae Benton, and Julian Fellows. Did I say him twice? Anyway.
No, you didn't.
And then after the red carpet, which I thought there were going to be more outlets there. It was us, Extra, TV Guide, a bunch of, it was a small red carpet. We went into a screening of episode 4, which I wrote about in the piece that I posted on the website last week. And then there was a little bit of a reception. We got to talk to a couple of the people that were there. But I think they ushered the stars out for COVID protocols. So they didn't stay. So we, Clarence and I hit the town red to celebrate the Gilded Age. And I will say that episode, if they get people in front of that show that audience was eating that shit up like crazy. So I don't know, maybe we're underestimating the Gilded Age, who knows? But yeah, I had a really great time.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And by paint the town red, Joey means that we walked about 15 miles to find a restaurant that was, and nothing was open in New York at 9:30 at night.
Why?
It was crazy. I wanted to see Times Square all lit up because I told Megan, I think I may have mentioned this to Clarence too, I love stupid touristy stuff in New York City, and I love Times Square because all Broadway shit's there. And it was funny because every time we would walk by a street, we would just sort of yell out the names of the shows that were I Spoke a Mormon, and we'd just keep walking.
Oh my god.
We did so that.
Yeah, I wanted to go see Times Square Lit Up. So we went to Times Square.
I believe it.
Yeah. And then we were like, let's find some food. And then we were trying to find a restaurant and nothing was open. And I feel like
they were open, but the kitchen was closed.
I feel like they were lying to us because I feel like they were probably going to close. But I feel like there were a couple places that were like, Clarence was like, is your kitchen still open? And they're like, no. Like, damn.
We should have, I thought about it today. We left the reception, got out of our dress clothes, and then, you know, to put on slob clothes, or not slob clothes, but, you know, just tourist clothes. Should have kept the suits on, I think. Now that there was a restaurant, which was, what?
I was saying, do you think the suits freaked everybody out?
No. I said we should have kept them on.
Oh, yeah.
No, the suits would have gotten us in because we both looked very, very good.
It was like, do you know who I am?
You guys did look good.
The funny thing was, the restaurant that's next to SJP, Sarah Jessica Parker's shoe store, was full. And by full, I mean there was maybe two tables open and people were getting food. Food was coming out of the kitchen and they stood there and they're like, no, we don't have food. We don't have kitchen. Kitchen's closed. And I'm like, okay. And then Joey stole a salt shaker.
Wow.
It was just saying, it was begging to be taken. So you're not going to give me food. You're going to have an uneven number of salt and pepper shakers, motherfuckers.
So
little do they know you collect them too.
I do, but I put it, I actually didn't keep it. I left it on top of like a garbage can somewhere. So not only was it annoying, it was also a minor inconvenience.
But in 20 years, Joey's going to be a cover boy for Morton Salt. Much like Winona Ryder is a cover girl for Marc Jacobs.
Yes. Yeah. That's right.
But we had a really good time. And when Joey says that Christine Baranski was kooky, she answered most of her questions in the persona of her character.
What? Yeah.
Yes, she did.
Oh, my God. I love that.
Yep. 100%. Yeah. In fact, Julian Fellows, very early in the Q&A that they did following the screening, said, I believe we have seen a moment where Christine and Agnes Van Ryn have become one.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. This is the nerdiest thing I've ever heard, and I'm glad you two got to experience it.
It was a lot of fun. We one of the things I discovered was, and I don't know if this is it's not a bad thing, but poor Louisa Jacobson is probably the most awkward individual I've ever seen in the acting business. I don't know, Joey, if you would agree with that.
Yeah, she flat out actually said they asked her in the general Q&A with the audience. They were like, what is your character is very naive, but she's also very smart. And they were like, what do you think she's naive about? And what do you think she's smart about? And she just sort of started rattling off stuff, but the way that it was worded, it sounded like, you know, like someone who was very young. So she was just like, I think that she thinks these people are awesome and electricity is really cool. And she at one point like interrupted herself. She's like, I'm really bad at interviews, guys, and then just kept going. She seemed very thoughtful and very sweet, and she's gorgeous. She's stunning in person. She looks so different with dark hair.
Yeah, she really does.
She has dark hair?
Yeah, she has like brownish hair. I don't know which is real. I assume the blonde is fake, but.
Yeah, the blonde is a wig.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's gorgeous. She's gorgeous skin.
And she is very smart. She had very thoughtful things to say, but she just was very nervous. Like the only time Joey did a fantastic job asking all of these questions. And the only time he messed up was when he called Louisa Jacobson's character by Danae Benton's character's name, Peggy, instead of Marion. And then he got flustered and then he started over. And then she was like, she had the bland sort of interview face, the interview smile, you know, just vaguely there, but smiling still. And then when he messed up, her face like scrunches in and she starts really concentrating on everything he's saying because she is totally lost. And I cut all that out. So
yeah, because I told her, I was like, so Peggy is blah blah blah, and then she was like, Peggy, and I was like, wait, I actually said to her, I was like, I'm gonna restart, let me restart my question, and then I started over. So I think I confused her probably, but
you know, it happens. But it was a good time, and Cynthia Nixon's eyes bore into Joey's soul and judged him.
Really?
She's intense
really.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Joey.
Oh, she was just gonna, someone said, maybe it was you, Clarence, that said, that's probably like her politician training of, you know, really listening to somebody when they talk. And, and she brought up Sex and the City. I didn't bring up Sex and the City. She brought it up. I asked her about the relationship between Agnes and Ada. And she said, well, I think Christine Baranski's character is really a Miranda. And I was like, well, the floodgates have opened. Like, I can talk to you about, I really wanted to ask her what it was like to be violently fingered on screen, but I held back and I didn't ask her. Yeah.
But it was a really good time. And as we were, you would have loved this, Megan, as we were wandering around New York, we ran into a vintage vinyl record store.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
And I could have put down some serious money in the store. I am not going to tell you what we walked away with, at least on
the original broadcast recording of Evita.
Damn you. So, all right, since you did that, I'm going to have to tell the story, and then we'll jump right into Stranger Things. There's so many there. It was one of these places where they had a vague ordering system, but what they really wanted you to do was just to comb through everything and kind of explore and find things. And that was part of the fun. You got to discover things. Like, we discovered an original West Side Story soundtrack. You know, there was it was really old stuff, like the original Yentl soundtrack, I think Joey found. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of combing through there, and we were like, I wonder if they're going to have an Evita. And lo and behold, I ran into an Evita, and I pulled it out, and Joey grabbed it from my hand because I want this.
And oh, I'm my like, God.
And then he's like, I don't have a record player, but I want this so bad. And I'm like, God. And then he put it back because he felt guilty, I think, or I don't know why. He slowly put it back. I said, no, you take it. It's fine. You take it. And I'm like, I'll keep on looking. And all of a sudden, I found another one.
I swiped it from Clarence, and he's the one who found it. I'm like, ew.
And then I found another one. So we both walked away with an original Evita soundtrack.
Oh, my God. That's hysterical.
That's funny. And then later on that night, I'm like, we should walk to the company stage door and get Patti LuPone to sign it.
Or get her to yell at you.
Yeah, she would discover that we weren't actually there and scream at her. She's like, how dare you take up the space in the stage door line from people who bought tickets to company?
At least you're wearing a fucking mask. Because we were.
Yeah. Two of the only people.
I'm so proud of you guys.
At that event.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Hot as fuck in that press room. I took a picture. I look psychotic now, but I took a selfie with my eyes really wide when Clarence
would go. Now.
Shut up. And it was just like. I meant to put it on Instagram and my story being like, it's really fucking hot, but I forgot to do it. So I haven't thrown it away, though. So, well,
yeah, it was at least 85 to 90 degrees in that line with those massive lights.
Hotter in New York, too.
Yeah.
Well, this was indoors, but.
It was indoors. Oh, okay.
Yeah. But we were walking through Times Square later on that night, and I had not worn a mask walking through the streets because it was breezy and generally there weren't a lot of people around us. But we hit Times Square, and there were hundreds of thousands of people there. And I'm like, I'm going to put on my mask now.
Yeah.
Like, safety. Like, I don't even know if it does anything. I mean, it wasn't a 95 mask, but I don't know if it does anything. But I needed to feel protected. It's a mental thing. Anyway.
Yeah. So many people have said that too, like now that it's almost like
a security blanket.
Security blanket, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's coming back because I know a whole bunch of people at my job who have it. So.
Wow.
Anyway. All right. So enough about that. Let's talk about Stranger Things. And just very quickly, I'll kick it off and then, you know, whoever wants to pick up after this, but it's Stranger Things season 4. It was delayed due to the pandemic, so it's been about 3 years since we've last visited Hawkins after the Battle of Starcourt. The cast of characters has split into multiple corners of the world, including it's not a spoiler to say that Hopper is indeed in a Russian prison. It's actually in the teaser trailer, and it's on the poster. We've got some of them in California for some reason, and we've got some of them in Hawkins. And we've, you know, it's I'm not even going to try to name who's all of there because it's kind of a lot of people at this point. They keep introducing new characters that are sure to die at some point because they're never going to kill off the original cast. There's a new villain in the name of Vecna, who is kind of a Freddy Krueger in that he pulls you into a trance state. I guess it's not technically a dream, but he knows your darkest secrets. And he torments you before he basically uses some kind of telekinetic power to crack all your bones and do something with your soul.
It's the 80s.
So I believe you see all of that in the... Yeah, that's how the first episode of the fourth season ends. Is yes. Someone bites it pretty gnarly. That is a very poor summary of Stranger Things, I fully admit. But let's just go ahead and jump into what we thought of it, because I think we're going to have very differing opinions. So, Megan, why don't you go first, if that's okay?
That's fine, yeah. And I think that my opinion is probably different only because maybe because my expectations were so low. Because I did not care for the third season at all. But I found myself... I enjoyed the first episode. I do think it's way too long. I was shocked that they're all still in high school. that first scene where they're showing, Jonathan, he's getting high and he's, getting ready to go to school. I'm like, high school, college, come on. Like, I thought that they had graduated. So I was very confused by that. But I keep thinking, I had written down that I keep thinking about Winona Ryder comparing Sadie Sink to Meryl Streep while I was watching the first episode. And, maybe you guys can elaborate and maybe she gets, I think she probably has more to do as it goes on. I liked Eddie. I thought he also looked 40, but I thought his character was kind of interesting in a way. I'm like looking at my notes, like I wrote, Dustin is still adorable. I do think, I like with the line where it's like, you were wearing a Weird Al t-shirt, which I thought was brave. And he's like, thank you. That's really funny. Like it was just things like that. Things that I think that the show was missing from the third season. I felt like everything was too on the, and I'm sure things are still on the nose. Like I just remember the third season, I hated the whole Hopper and L relationship because it was super weird and like Hopper's listening to Don't Mess with Jim on the radio after he gets mad at, is it Mike? Yeah, I don't even remember. I get mixed up with Mike and Will all the time. But he like is playing a song on the radio kind of like Don't Mess with Jim. It's like, okay, we get it. Thanks, soundtrack. But I felt like it was a little more, having a little more fun this season. But I do have questions about, like, is Steve a creep? Like, because he's dating high school girls after he's like the one who did graduate, right?
What a great question.
He did graduate, right? I believe he did. He's not at the school anymore, but he's dating high school girls.
I kept thinking we were talking about the other guy. Yeah, he's not in high school anymore.
Okay, because I was like, okay, so he's a creep because he's like hanging out at the basketball game. I don't know. I found that weird, but I found it fine. I thought it for setting up what I'm assuming it's like kind of knowing what it's setting up. I thought it was a fine introduction and kind of interesting that they took away like Elle's powers. And also I laughed though that they like she goes by Jane at school. Why does not go by L as in Elle? Like, wouldn't that be a little bit easier?
Because Jane is her real name.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's the name that her mother gave her. Yeah.
Okay. I forgot about that. Well, nobody calls her that though. So other than teachers, but that's right, those are my thoughts though on it.
Joey.
I'm the opposite of you in terms of season three. I actually like season three. I'm a defender of that season. I'm fine. More for me. Whore. I I don't hate this season. I was expecting not to like it as much. This is the slowest that I've gotten through. I've only won, what, 3 of 7? I started it on Saturday, and I think this season, of what I have seen, is horribly paced.
I believe that. I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't like how they're so separated. I think Hopper should be dead. I think that... I don't know. I just think that the whole Hopper thing is just like really, really dumb. when they show him like escaping at the end of season 3, I was like, you would have died.
Yeah, because he got blown up and fell from a balcony onto a concrete floor, and he didn't even so much as crack his head.
And it's just like, I understand what you're doing, though. Like, it's a lot of 80s nostalgia him surviving is sort of like what movies from the 80s do. And I understand like the Russia connection because of, yeah, you know, we have a complicated relationship, our country and Russia. I don't know if you guys knew that. I understand where everything is coming from. I just don't like it. I think actually some of the most compelling stuff, surprisingly, is Elle with no powers. Even though, yeah. I do think, Megan, you have to, what she does, something in episode 2, is kind of great, in my opinion, even though it was spoiled for me by assholes online. I don't know. I think that's a different thing. I do think that, I think that's like a different direction that I wasn't expecting the show to go into, like them keeping her without her powers. And I do think that the way that they write her is still really stupid. About, I was joking with our roommate that it was like, say like a normal line to me, and it feels like L/11/Jane will pick just one word out of that sentence and sound really confused. It was like, we're out of toilet paper. Toilet? It's just, I'm going to work now.
That's a really good impression.
Thank you. And I think I'm also just really disturbed by the side-by-side comparison of Millie Bobby Brown at the first Stranger Things premiere and the sort of weird Kate Beckinsale cosplay that she was doing at the season 4 premiere. That's what it was. She looked like she was trying to be Kate Beckinsale. And I was like, I don't understand. Like, you do whatever you want. Wear whatever makes you, you know, confident and feel good and blah, blah, blah. But I was just like, I don't like it.
I'm old and attractive, and I can drink a martini.
She was just like, oh.
She's, I'm on my third divorce.
That's what it looked like. I was like, okay. I sometimes feel like, as of where I am right now in episode 3, it sort of feels like the sort of supernatural element that the show is known and loved for isn't connecting with the angsty part yet. And I don't like that I'm basically watching two separate shows. Like the whole thing of them like running around in a family video trying to find the right person. And I don't like that aspect of it necessarily. That might change because I'm not sure where it's going. But I mean, if I want to see like teenagers get cracked apart, I'm like, that's fine. So I'm gonna give it a solid C right now. C.
I will say that I elevated it to a C+ by the time I got to the end, and I don't know if that's because I was sort of member buried into submission, because that's the problem with it. I think it's the 80s flashbacks and the 80s callbacks aren't necessary, not flashbacks, they're callbacks. The allusions to the 80s and early 90s films of the Duffer Brothers history, they're not so cute anymore to me. They start to feel incredibly suffocating, and no more so than in that. It is suffocating.
Yeah.
When you go to the roller rink in episode 2.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
It's a total nightmare.
What happens?
There is a shot that I will say that, like, when the thing happens and then the camera is on the girl and it's like panning back to Elle and you see all the like bystanders watching what happened. It was just sort of like, I feel like I could see the costume department like, we need more headbands. No, fluorescent headbands. That's what it was like.
I know that people dressed funny in the 80s. Not every single person wore every single cliched 1980s outfit. Not everybody looked like Olivia Newton-John from Physical.
I did feel like that when I saw, is it Mike's mom?
Where she had like the headband across the.
Yes.
Yeah. She just looked so like, and I really liked what they were doing with her character in the second season when she was attracted to Sadie mm-hmm. Sink's brother. What's his name? It's Dockery Montgomery, Billy. Right? Is that how you say his name? Billy. Yeah. Yeah. When God, she was, yeah, I do too. When she was attracted to him, I thought that was really interesting because I've always kind of like her husband on the show always looks so frumpy and she looks so kind of cooler. Gorgeous, like, yeah. And I just feel like I always wanted to know more about their relationship. Then they kind of delve into that a little bit in the second season and then they stop. But even like just showing her with that look, I was like, oh, we'll never find out what's going on with you. And that makes me sad.
Well, her husband is Matthew Broderick's dad from War Games, but that's who he's modeled after. He looks exactly like him.
So everybody's modeled after something. Nobody's original.
No, everything is a callback, and everything started to feel like a cliche. Like it was cute in the first couple of seasons, but now it's like, well, of course he's Freddy Krueger, right? Of course he's doing this because what else are you going to do? And then there's a scene where Nancy and Uma Thurman's daughter, whose name Maya Hawke, but I don't remember the character's name, are walking down this. Yeah, mm-hmm. Robin. They're walking down a hall to visit someone in a mental institution, and it's Silence of the Lambs. Straight up to, you know, walk on this side, stay away from the glass, and, you know, there's a fine line between homage and cliche and ripoff. And it's really crossed that line for me personally.
And I do think you're right about, like, just since you brought up Robin very quickly, I think you brought up that, like, the way they act is not, like, in what it would be like in the 80s. Like, the fact that Steve is, like, fine with Robin's sexuality, which, you know, is cool. But, I mean, I'm sure there were people in the 80s that were cool with it. But I feel like somebody like Steve would struggle with it. And I also feel like somebody like Robin might struggle with coming out and, you know, we don't even get to see it. I feel like they could do more like nuanced performances, more nuanced characters, and they don't. They just kind of go for like, but it's now.
I don't think I would like to see that though.
Really?
The 80s are so synonymous with homophobia and everything like that. Like, I think that would be only overdone. I think that's actually sort of like, I understand what you're saying. Like, it's like,
it feels unrealistic at some, but then again, I'm watching.
Well, I mean, like not every some sort of monsters, lesbians.
Yeah. No, but I'm just saying, like, it just feels like what world is this? But then again, it's, you know, it's a world where
you're like, you know, I could really use a scene
of homophobia.
But I could really use
that. No, I'm going to be canceled.
I just want one dyke. That's it. Just one, just thrown out randomly.
Well, nobody knows.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's interesting to see, though. I mean, I guess it's probably a good thing to see that somebody is not struggling. It's, you know, you don't really want anybody to struggle, obviously, but it just feels like these characters do feel like they're for a show that is so obsessed with the 80s. Those two don't feel like they're from the 80s.
I agree.
I guess that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Other things that Joey, you're absolutely right about Russia. It is completely unnecessary in this. It doesn't do anything. And in fact, it does a disservice to the story by sending Joyce on. And I don't know if you've gotten to this yet, but it sends Joyce on this wild adventure to where she, you know, wants to go and rescue Hopper. And it's like, we really don't know what to do with Winona Ryder this season, so we're just going to make up this Russia subplot, and that's going to be that. And it doesn't work. It doesn't fit. It's weird, and it's frankly, it's insulting to Winona Ryder, I think. That goes farther than I think either of you have seen.
Well, I think that's sort of what's going on in episode 3, where You know, it's I feel like everything that they're doing with Joyce, it doesn't always have to be like a rescue situation. Like, I think it would have been sort of interesting for Joyce to have had not one, but two men die sort of like quite literally in front of her. And then she moves to California and she's in a new place, taking on other kids that aren't necessarily her own. You know, she has a job, like the whole thing. She's like, my mom gets to work from home. Get it? You've been stuck inside for 2 years.
Yeah, I did.
That's what I hated so much.
When she was like, she works from home. That's what she said.
Sure, home?
She's E.T.
Yeah, she is.
So, kind of like, I don't know. I just thought it would have been so much more interesting, like, if she, I don't know, I don't know. And I don't want to, like, dump on the show, because I like the show, but it's just, like, I don't know. Maybe the year I got away from it, and I'm just like, all right.
I watched all of it, and I watched it pretty quickly. So it's entertaining, but it do I think it's a good show? I don't think it's a good season. Plus, what is the name of the guy, the basketball player, the captain of the basketball team? Give him a mic and give him not Lucas. It's this the blonde guy that gives the big speech.
Oh yeah, that was weird.
That was so weird, and he looks 40.
Yeah, he does. I was like, is this the coach that's gonna play with them? Like,
and he's super short, and that giant, and he has another monologue, and I'm like, why do they think they should give him all of these? I know what they're doing. They're trying to set up this the town strikes back thing, and I don't know. There's a whole lot here that doesn't work. There are some things that do work. I'm struggling to think of them at the moment.
Why is everybody so shocked when these things happen? Like, they live. Do they know where they live?
Like, I do think there is something about the I do think that there is something about leaning into the sort of like awful white people of 80s movies that I sort of enjoyed. Ooh, Anna Gasteyer retweeted my article. Anyway, but there's some, because there's the one blonde girl, I'm forgetting her name. But then there is a scene in episode 3 where the blonde basketball player does something horribly violent, just starts like the sort of like mob mentality, sort of like, we're going to get, we're going to find answers, blah, blah, blah. I don't know that I was like, all right, I see what you're doing. Suburban rich white people, they're still awful.
I mean, was there ever a question of that, though?
No, there wasn't a question, but I'm sure glad the Duffer Brothers reinforced it.
There was another thing I was going to mention, but no, I don't want to get into spoiler territory, so I'm going to hold off on that.
Do you want to talk about Will Byers and whether he's gay?
I mean, Joey answered that question very early on. Yes, he's gay. he was gay earlier in like season one.
I thought so too. And it's obvious this season.
I think also, I don't even necessarily, I'm surprised that has sparked so much conversation with this season. If you think of like season, it might have been season 2 or season 3, where they're sort of just leaning into him, feeling, sort of leaving childhood behind while his other friends are doing other stuff. I think that is very interesting to talk about.
Yeah.
And they're sort of maybe the topic of sexuality is sort of overshadowing that's what they're continuing to do with it. I mean, like, at least Noah Schnapp's just like, oh, I don't know. They don't explicitly say it.
But that girl was trying to play footsie with him, and he was like, ooh.
And now they slap a Dorothy Hamill wig on him and make him and put him in a throuple with Elle and Mike.
Is that what's going on?
No. He's a third wheel. There's a love triangle, and they don't explicitly say it, of course, but there's a scene later on where you feel like Will's going to say something, and they're sitting, like, he and Mike are sitting alone, and he's just like, you're just ignoring me, and I really, and then something happens and it gets interrupted.
Oh, I just want to, from the beginning, I've just wanted to give Will a hug.
Yeah.
That it's like, changed.
Turn 18, run to San Francisco, Will. You'll be happy. Don't worry about it. It's Pride Month. Woo! Find your tribe.
Yes, because that is what the 80s is all about.
Actually, no, stay away from San Francisco, Will. Yeah.
You'll die. No. I guess the last thing I'll say is Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the Sarah Michelle Gellar version. What Stranger Things does in an entire season, Sarah Michelle Gellar did in like one episode, maybe two. So I don't know.
I cannot speak to that, but I'm sure Joey can confirm.
In which regard?
They achieve a lot of teen angst drama and a lot of thematic conversation and a lot of drama, and there are stakes in every episode, and bad things happen to these characters and they don't recover from them, and they don't have to spend $30 million over seven episodes to do it. They did it on network TV in 45 minutes, and it's basically the same impact, if not more so, from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Tara did not die.
Do you think
this to happen again?
Do you think that they added too many characters? I saw that was another thing that people were complaining about this season, that the addition of maybe of Eddie and other new characters. I don't know.
I do think so. And well, they introduced new characters only to kill them off like 5 minutes later. It's just like they needed to do that. They needed to introduce new people so that they could die. And something, there's a, I don't know, this is kind of a spoiler, so I'll have to talk to somebody about it offline when you finish this, the season, the seven episodes that we have so far. But it's, I don't necessarily think that somebody has to die, but somebody has to get hurt, right? Something bad has to happen to somebody.
Somebody has to get hurt.
I mean, they always save everybody. Then it's just right. Unreal. It's like.
Like Hopper should have died.
Well, not just Hopper, but. Yeah, but like they spend four episodes talking about how depressed Sadie Sink is because she can't get over the fact that her brother's death and she's being tormented and all this stuff. And then they, you know, it's not a spoiler to say she doesn't die. So I just want somebody to die.
Well, it raises the stakes. That's what it does.
It does. It makes it real.
Yeah, for a show. Like, people love these characters. They really, really do. And the thing is, you have to give them something realistic to root for, to, like, you know, live, to you know, propel them on to the next thing. But if you know that someone is going to have an emotional send-off only to land in Mother Russia to have fucking Veronica come to his rescue, then it's not satisfactory.
Who's Veronica?
Winona Ryder's character in Heather's.
Oh, okay.
God, Megan, like, it's Pride Month. How dare you?
It was like, well, I didn't know you were talking about.
I know, it's like Joyce. Get that
far. Yeah, I'm like, what?
That said, I should amend, you know, given the events of the last 2 weeks in the real world, perhaps it's a good thing that children don't die in Stranger Things and that people have something to escape to.
Yes, that's true, too. Yeah, but I get what you're saying, though, because it's like, if you don't, like, there are other shows that, I mean, they have killed characters off of this show. I mean, they killed fucking Barb in the first season.
Well, that
was a big deal.
Yeah, it was. So,
but they, but I get what you're saying, though. They have not done anything as of late that has, I mean, I guess they did. Well, that guy said in his speech that all those students died from the monster, right? Which sure. I didn't realize. I didn't remember any of that. I was like, who are these people? Are you going to talk about Barb? Like, I kept waiting for them. I didn't mention Barb.
Everyone put on your memorial classes.
It's just, I think I'm just.
Hike up your pants really high.
Oh, God.
I don't need a main cast body count. I need stakes. And apparently there are stakes, but they invest them in characters we don't care about. So that's
well, like, kind of like with wrestling, when you know that, like. So if you meet a new student, you know they're probably going to die. It's like when in the wrestling ring when, like, Hulk Hogan's going against, like, Stiffy McStiff. you're like, I think Hulk Hogan's going to beat this guy.
Right.
Stiffy mix.
No.
The Goonies. The Goonies always win, and that's the thing that they haven't really matured from. You know, the Goonies from the 80s.
That's true.
They always solve the problem. It's like the Scooby Gang. And you know, they're probably just, I still hold firm to the idea that in some episode, they're going to go Stephen King it, and they're going to do a flash forward to these kids as adults, and they have to go back to Hawkins.
I think that you're absolutely right. I think what they're going to do is have it, because they can't lose this cast. So I think what they're going to do is have it like layered between I think the next season will probably do that. Or the last season. The last season.
I think what they're probably going to do is they're probably going to wait like 5 years and then do that. It was like, it's back.
More Stranger Things. Adult Stranger Things. Well, that's something completely different. The Miseducation of Will Byers. Oh, God. All right. So Television Academy, are they going to go member berries on this? And by member berries, of course, to those who don't watch South Park, it's the irresistible allure of nostalgia that causes you to lose your consciousness and just go blindly for the nostalgia. Are they going to vote?
I think they might, because it looks good. And it's, you know, it's shot really well. I don't think they're going to, and maybe L for acting. Maybe not. I think it'll get some, it probably could get in for best for drama or something. I don't know. But I mean, if I were picking, I'd say no, but I could see them just being like, it looks really good. It's because
it's impeccably made. I mean, you can see $18 million on screen. Well, so I'm not sure you can see $30 million every episode. Just depends on how much.
Does it get more like expensive looking with the monsters? Because I still am not seeing the money on screen.
It doesn't really. That's the thing. They go into the Upside Down and they meet Vecna, and it just there aren't that many monsters. Are there? I mean, there is a callback to a previous monster in a later episode, but that doesn't. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like you can copy and paste that from the code from the VFX code from season one. I don't know where the money is. And they're not doing as many songs, which I do appreciate. There is the one big song that everybody's talking about online, but the Kate Bush song.
I like the way they use that song.
Yeah. But they don't have as many needle drops, which I think is smart.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I do too. I don't know where all that money goes, unless it's just, it costs a lot of money to make that many Dago clothes.
That was in my notes. I wrote down trying to figure out where all the money went.
Money question mark?
the Duffer Brothers slush fund.
Oh no.
Joey, what do you think about Emmy potential?
I mean, it's never missed a drama series. I think most people think that the third season is the most uneven, and it still got in. Let's see. I think it probably gets into drama series just because I think they'll blindly vote for it, which is going to be really depressing. Not that because it's bad. It's just like there's some like really cool options that they could put in there, like a Severance, like a Pachinko, like a Yellow Jackets.
I was going to say, I'm worried that it's going to take Yellow Jackets' spot because they're similar, both in the past, teenagers, nostalgia. Obviously, I think Yellow Jackets does it better, but
I think also
dealing with supernatural type things.
I think it's...
I'm hoping...
Yeah, like I do think sometimes when we predict the Emmys, you should always factor in like, yes, sometimes they do some really cool stuff. That's mostly in my opinion in limited series where they, you know, they pick some really cool performances. But I feel like a lot of times, especially in drama series, they don't take as many risks, and they, you have to sort of think about like a 60-year-old white person living in, you know, Montana, who is just like, what's on the Netflix?
Yeah, I think you're talking about Glenn Close. Because doesn't she live in Montana, or is it Wyoming?
Does she?
She moved.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, she no longer lives in Connecticut.
Where does Glenn Close?
Anyway, it's Montana. Yeah, she lives
Montana,
in Montana.
Yeah, good for her. Glenn Close is just like, I like that Millie Bobby Brown.
I do think it probably gets in for drama series because it's never missed, and it's big at the right moment, you know, releasing it on Memorial Day all in one batch. It's the most streaming hours ever or something like that. I don't know exactly what record it broke, but it broke some record. I think it's smart to have done that, and I think it's going to pay off. I don't necessarily think that anybody from the cast gets in.
Yeah.
Because I don't think...
I mean, yeah. Hasn't Millie Bobby Brown only been nominated once?
Yes. I know she wasn't nominated for season 3. Because Hopper was the only one that was.
Let's look. Maybe they'll just confuse her for Kate Beckinsale and they'll nominate her anyway.
She was nominated twice.
She was? Okay.
Yeah. She was nominated twice for season 1 and season 2. She missed out for season 3. So we'll see. I think, you know, if anybody from the cast does get in, it might be Sadie Sink. But she only really has a strong impact through the first 4 episodes, so I don't know. But she has a very long dramatic monologue.
Oh, I can do it.
Yeah. Anyway, does that do it on Stranger Things?
Yeah.
All right, let's move off to the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating the upcoming weekend. We're going to do a lightning round here, and we're going to start with Joey, and he's going to go really fast. Go.
I want to watch all gay shit. So Trixie Mattel on Discovery Plus, Book of Queer on Discovery Plus. I guess I'm getting Discovery Plus. And I'm glad that Fire Island is debuting on Hulu on June 3rd. I reviewed it for the website. So watch the movie and then read my review.
Megan.
I'm sorry, I forgot to buzz in. Buzz.
Real World Homecoming. I need to watch the latest episode. I'm really into that this season. Survivor's over, so I've got to find something else. I think I might catch up on the challenge from last season. I'm just kind of mentally preparing myself for Jurassic World Dominion next week. Everybody should go see. Everybody should go see Top Gun because it's a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed it. And I'm really surprised by how much I enjoyed it. Given that like the first one's just kind of cheesy fun, and this one, the time was, it's over 2 hours. It's a 2 hour 11 minute movie, I think, or something like that. But I felt like it flew by, and I really enjoyed it. Oh, I also watched Moonfall this week.
Oh, I want to watch that. It looks so stupid.
Patrick Wilson. It's crazy. But there are things that I loved about it and things that I absolutely, like, it's just ridiculous. Like Roland Emmerich, you know, just destroying shit. Like, and there's also like this James Corden lookalike that's not really James Corden that you could tell that they were like, we wanted to get James Corden, but we did. But I watched that because How Did This Get Made is doing their podcast on that, and I wanted to make sure that I watched it. So, yeah, that's about it.
I really have to start listening to that podcast.
I'm literally just subscribing to it right now.
I will say I did just recently see Downton Abbey. A New Age, and people should steadfastly avoid that. sorry, Julian, my buddy. It is not good. The thing that I'm pretty much most looking forward to this week, which I will not be able to see because I'm doing interviews and writing up interviews and editing videos and stuff like that, is The Boys Season 3, which premieres on Friday on Amazon, which I have screeners for and just haven't had the time to watch them. womp womp.
Yeah.
Audiobook wise, I just started listening to the audiobook for The Age of Innocence.
Ooh. So,
yes. And I find myself chuckling at Edith Wharton jokes, and I'm like, I am 85 years old.
Aww.
I should read to you, if I had a script of it, I would read it to you, but I'm not going to bore you. But there's the description of one of the characters who is very overweight. It's like her flesh flows down her chin like lava or something like that. I was cracking up. Anyway, I'm embarrassing myself. So does that cover it?
Yeah.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. So we are the 3Ms, contributors Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Moy. Thank you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us, and reminding you that two of us have an original Evita LP. Vinyl. And wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.